Elijah is not dead. Of all the miracle workers and prophets and kings of ages past before him, Elijah alone was never made to pass through the gates of death. No, Elijah is not dead. He was swept up on the wings of a whirlwind, swept up into the heavenly realms, and long though the arm of death might be, it is not so very long that it can stretch into heaven itself. No, Elijah is not dead. Some of the holy people, some 50 prophets from Jericho, they saw and observed, they saw the flaming chariots and the horses of fire come. They saw Elijah be swept up in the whirlwind into heaven. They even organized a search party, 50 of them looking for 3 days, looking for any sign of Elijah, and they found nothing. It seems that he was assumed, body and soul, into heaven. Now, Elijah is not dead, we read, and could return to walking the earth at any time. The scriptures, in fact, are filled with stories about when Elijah might return. They are all over the Bible. But why? Why would God do such a thing? What could be the purpose of this one holy man out of all the holy people from scripture? Why would he be the first to be assumed into heaven? It has to do, I think, it has to do with who Elijah was, or rather, who Elijah is. See, Elijah, he walked the earth in the days of King Ahab. Ahab, one of the wickedest of men to rule over the people of God. Ahab ruled by fear, and he abandoned anything like faithful devotion to God and God's laws, making instead an idol out of anything that would further his power and prosperity. In those days, kings, they were considered only a little different from gods. Kings were able to do whatever they pleased, able to behave however they wished, with no one to stand up to them, no one to act as a check upon their whims. No one other than Elijah, that is. Elijah prophesied throughout Ahab's reign, opposing at every turn, opposing the wicked king with words of truth and deeds of power that demonstrated, though, that the king was mighty, he was not the only one who could make a difference in the world. Elijah stood up to King Ahab and heralded the dawning of a new era with deeds of power that had not been seen since the days of Moses. And at the end of the day, it was Elijah, standing as he did on the side of God, on the side of right, it was Elijah who proved victorious at the end of the day. And it was just then after Ahab and his rule had been brought to an end, just then as a new chapter was beginning to unfold for the people of Israel, it was just then that Elijah was swept up on the wings of a whirlwind into heaven. It seems that Elijah was made to live only in tumultuous times. Days of peace were no time for Elijah. No, Elijah is not dead. He was swept up into heaven, where death cannot reach, and could return to walking the earth at any time. The scriptures are clear about this, and there are stories about when Elijah might return all throughout Scripture. In the prophet Malachi, the final book of the Hebrew Bible, in the prophet Malachi, it says that just before the coming of the day of the Lord, just before the day when wrong will be swept away in place of the right, just before the coming of that holy day, Elijah would return. In the Gospels, too, we can see that in times of tumult and trouble, people were on the lookout for Elijah's return. People believed that John the Baptizer was Elijah. He was there, after all, to oppose wicked King Herod. Many people believed that John the Baptizer was Elijah. And then when the crowds began to amass and follow Jesus, many of them believed that Jesus must have been Elijah. The deeds of power that he was doing had not been seen since the days of Moses, since the days of Elijah. Even as Jesus was hanging on the cross, after the people's faith in Jesus had fallen apart, their faith in Elijah was still strong. With Jesus' dying words on the cross calling out, people believed that he was calling out for Elijah. And they tried to prolong Jesus' life just a little longer to see whether or not Elijah might come back. If indeed a man as holy as Jesus was calling for him, then perhaps Elijah would return. In all of this, in all of the places in Scripture, and there are many, when the people began to believe that Elijah was about to return, there is one thing that binds them all together, one thread that draws them together. And that is that people's hopes for Elijah's return are always at their highest when times are at their worst. People's hopes for Elijah's return were always highest when times were at their worst. People do not look for Elijah during times of prosperity. They look for Elijah when there is a drought. People do not look for Elijah during times of peace. They look for Elijah when the drums of war are beginning to sound. Elijah walked the earth in times of great tribulation. He was not made for times of peace. And when he walks the earth again, it will be in times of great tribulation. Whenever things are at their absolute worst, that is when the people begin to look around and when they begin to wonder, could this be at last Elijah returned? You see, Elijah reveals something true and deep about the Christian faith, something true about God. Elijah reveals the shape of our hope. The shape that our hope takes is not just anything. Rather, as Christians, our hope is shaped something like being snatched from the very jaws of a beast. Our hope is shaped like a freshly sealed tomb, somehow inexplicably empty. Our hope is one of sudden reversals and deliverance in moments of greatest peril. Our hope is one where the longed-for reign of God, how life is supposed to be, the reign of God is butted up against, adjacent to, immediately beside greatest tribulation. We know our hope is shaped this way because Elijah is not dead. Elijah could return to walking the earth at any time. Any time when there are powers and principalities behaving as if they can do whatever they please. In times of greatest tumult and tribulation, people of faith ought to look around and ask and wonder, is this Elijah at last? We live in days of great tumult and trial. In the last year, more than once, elders in the church, elders have said to me that they remember the feeling of these days that we are living now. They remember the feeling that pervades the air, the crackling anger like a storm about to erupt, the groaning of the walls, barely holding back a flood of misery and change too long delayed. The elders tell me that they remember this feeling from days of unrest and war and uprising. The youth have told me, have told the whole church, in fact, that this is all they've ever known. And with the unbounded imagination that comes from awakening to a world that is on fire, they tell me that they shall be the ones to change it. For me, someone in the middle of my life, I can say only that I know that life has not always been this way. I know that precious lives do not need to be cast away so cruelly, the weak derided so snidely, the other vilified so totally, the familiar held up so piously, the truth discarded so wantonly. I know that the world does not need to work this way. I know because I have lived in days when it was not so. We are living in remarkable days, tumultuous days, Elijah days. And this is the shape of our hope. It is when tumult is at its greatest that our hope is at its most credible, its most believable, closest to hand, its most tangible. These are days when powers and principalities are behaving as if they can do whatever they please, as if there is no power in heaven or earth that could stand against them. These are days when people of faith, we ought to be on the lookout. We ought to keep our eyes peeled for those who, with words of truth and deeds of power, take a stand for the world as it ought to be. And when we see them, we should wonder. We should wonder. When we see people like Bree Newsom scaling a flagpole in South Carolina and tearing down a Confederate flag from the State House, doing in a day with nothing but climbing gear and a safety helmet for good measure, doing with prophet's fire what incrementalism could not do in a century, we should wonder. We should wonder when we see people like Scott Warren, the Christian pastor who was put on trial for offering water to migrants dying of thirst in the desert, seeking to save the lives of those who had put everything to risk out of desperation. When we see people like that, we should wonder. We should wonder when we see people like Monica Cannon Grant, who, after the white supremacist violence in Charlottesville, learned that a similar event was planned for the very next week here in Boston, who in less than 1 week rallied 30,000 people behind her in a show of the power that peace can hold. When we see people like this, we should wonder. We should wonder, is this, at last, could it be Elijah?